T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
It's just fragile. Anything can happen. A player can be here one day and over here the next day and committed to this team one day and want to be traded. Like, you just never know. But just like what teams players play for is fragile, is also you can go from being a non-playoff team to being in the finals.
Right.
And I think that's the part that people look past. It's like, oh, we lost in the first round. We got to go in a different direction. This coach, he got outcoached in the conference finals. He got to get fired. Like, sometimes when you stick it out, it's like it pay off for you that way. Yeah. But I think teams and players are so quick to just jump here and jump to conclusions and all that, that they not staying true to, like, sometimes you got to take your lumps.
Middays on the Score.
Old school thoughts from Damian Lillard on ESPN. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. It's going to take some time for me to actually get rosters out and figure out who's where, who's on what team. We know the big names, but we are looking at players dictating their futures in a way that they never have before. It was Sunday morning, and we wake up, and all of a sudden, wait, what happened? What last night late? Kawhi Leonard decided not only that he was going to the Clippers, but the reason he was going there was because they were able to swing a massive deal, sending all the first-round picks to Oklahoma City for Paul George.
It's really quite something. I mean, that's an MVP finalist moving after just one season on his contract. He's got 2 years left. I mean, this guy is in the middle of, he's an MVP finalist in the middle of his deal, and Kawhi Leonard essentially, and I don't mean for this to be a dig at Kawhi, because I appreciate the players having this kind of power. I think there are questions to be asked about what the NBA is, what it should be perhaps going forward around their center of power, around how they're able to reshape the league, but that they have it isn't an issue for me. It's amazing to think that Kawhi Leonard has that kind of pull, has that kind of come to Jesus power when it gets to meeting with the Clippers. And think about it this way too, Dan. The Clippers took Bruce Bowen off their TV broadcast like a year and a half ago. They had been sending representatives to Raptors games all season long.
Wherever those games were.
All.
Including here, right?
Season. Yeah, you're damn right.
Steve Ballmer himself.
You're damn right.
It was being seen.
They let it known that they were going to do almost everything on the court possible, or certainly off the court, to get Kawhi a little bit more comfortable. And on the court, willing to trade more draft picks than have ever been traded before in a deal to go pick up Paul George, the guy that Kawhi feels fits his game most, a guy that Kawhi feels will not turtle in the playoffs because Kawhi's around him now. It's really quite incredible. And I just wonder, for those who were, and I know there were a large amount of NBA fans, unsettled by players having the kind of pull that they have, I wonder now if they've got even more of an unsettled nature around how quickly things can change. Because part of the reason that the Raptors felt so comfortable, well, if not comfortable, then sure in their bet to trade for Kawhi Leonard with just 1 year left on his contract, has to be because Paul George unexpectedly re-upped in Oklahoma City after they did the same thing. Everybody expected Paul George to go to the Lakers after that 1 year in Oklahoma City. That didn't happen. He re-signed because they made the way possible for him in OKC. That doesn't pan out.
Then he played with Russell Westbrook.
That doesn't pan out. You play with Russ one season, it don't work, and now you're looking for a better place to go play. It's crazy how quickly things can change in this league, and it really is kind of, I guess that would be somewhat ironic, right? If not just approaching irony, that the very way Toronto makes a deal is the way that OKC gets burned on Paul George leaving them in the first place. It's really pretty something.
There's three NBAs going on right now. Tell me if this makes any sense. You have the contender league. You've got your premiership.
Yeah.
Right? And the Contender League, we know who these teams are. Your handful of squads that are going to be in the running for a title. And it might not be some of the teams that we're used to, but you can generally identify those teams every year in the NBA.
Of course, of course.
Right? They just happen to be different now because of these bold strokes by players. Those teams don't need to care about draft picks at all. And when you see, all right, here, you want four, five, whatever you want.
Cool. Like,
they don't need to care. You then have the genuine rebuilds of the teams collecting as many draft picks as possible. They've got hope. They've got no worries about a luxury tax. They're just going to keep amassing picks. Then you have your middle class where the Bulls are squarely right now. They have used many of their high picks. They are now trying to develop another young core to some unknown end. That's the glass ceiling league. That's your in-between league. That's where maybe Indiana is one of those teams. You know, there are some of these squads just be like, we're going for something.
Yeah, maybe.
Not sure what.
Maybe the Hawks are somewhere near there, depending on how much Trae Young really develops.
The Mavericks.
Maybe the Mavericks are there, and if Kristaps comes back healthy as he can, then maybe that changes a little bit. But sure, I do think that headed to some unknown end is a pretty interesting way to look into how this reshaped league may affect the Bulls. There have been, I don't know if you've seen this, but there have been a lot of people clamoring on Twitter because now that Oklahoma City has to or may have to remake itself entirely, what with the departure of Paul George, there are those clamoring for the acquisition of Russell Westbrook.
By whom?
By the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, well, where does that get you?
I don't know where that gets you, but I find this part of it interesting.
Salary for the win, cap hell?
Yeah, well, it would be salary cap hell. However, what makes it work, because you got to make the numbers match in this league before you can move on to anything else. If you ran it through on the NBA trade machine...
His contract sucks.
If you ran it through the NBA trade machine, not that this wouldn't still leave you in salary hell, you could trade Otto Porter Jr. and Kobe White, the point guard you just drafted, straight up for Russell Westbrook. It's not happening that way. That's not working. I don't mean to say that that's on the horizon at all.
So is the rationale...
It's amazing to me that this is a thrust. This is a push.
Is the rationale just because he's a superstar?
I think it has to be.
And that somehow you're... He's a little guy, though. I don't think that puts you into a conversation of...
You are then left... Listen, I think frustration with
would
the Bulls,
also,
he would eat him alive.
Jim Boylan
eat him alive.
For lunch.
Kill him. Absolutely kill him. You want a little mutiny? I think we'd get to full-blown.
Connor, let's take out the Kobe White from that deal, and let's put in the old Cristiano Felicio, because that's more realistic.
Oh, sure. That'd be nice if OKC's willing to take...
Oh, no. They should. I would think they would do that, because Russell Westbrook is a negative asset.
Oh, for the Thunder right now.
In a trade, he should be a negative asset.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
In 2023, you're paying him $47 million.
Yowza. No, I'm not.
Like, that is a top five, without question, worst contract in the NBA.
See, and this is why it's amazing to me. Really, it's two ways. Because, Rick, you bring up the exact issue here. Russell Westbrook's contract is almost toxic. Forget, you know, what you may think. Yeah, I mean, it's basically toxic. Forget what you may think about the player and his abilities and skills and where he was when he wasn't having to take a whole bunch of threes with a, 32% free throw or field goal percentage for three. This is now a contract that some are willing to take on when it comes to the Bulls. Because if for no other reason, then you can't get stars. This guy is a star, though has a whole bunch of other stuff hanging on him, especially this contract. And yet, many are willing to dip their toe in this water because the approach they've given you has been so frustrating over the last 10 years.
Well, I will give you this other conclusion, too. And this is something that a lot of people around the NBA are understanding in a way that perhaps they haven't. When you look at what Steve Ballmer himself, since overpaying for that team, what looked like an overpayment, then now it's probably an underpayment.
Probably.
For $2 billion buying that team. The difference, what it means to have a dynamic, forward-thinking owner. that the Bulls are nice people. You know, the Reinsdorf family, they've done a nice job with the stewardship of their team. But this league now, what you can do, and I remember it was John Paxson was on with Danny Parkins talking about, he was asking about the Ballmer stuff. But, you know, here he is. He's sitting in your building, obviously wooing Kawhi, and, yeah, and the Bulls thought it was tampering. Guess what? It isn't. It's not tampering. They let that stuff go. So
they just let it go.
Right, but technically, it is not prosecuted as tampering. It's not enforced. I think that you can ask your ownership group now, what are you doing already for Giannis? What are you doing already for the next wave, for the next available superstar players? How are you getting in the conversation? Not a bad contract for Russell Westbrook right before he's about to hit his career decline.
Pass.
But when you are, when you're really thinking about it, what are you doing? What can you do that other ownership groups, do you think it's a coincidence that nobody wants to play for Dolan and the Knicks? I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
God, no, it's not.
I also think that you've got that you have more and more owners who are willing to step out, willing to take some risks, and willing to play this high stakes game because that's just their nature.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it happened. It didn't start with Kawhi, but you know that's kind of the latest and biggest example, because Kawhi, through his 5 days free agency period, was so tight-lipped. I mean, really, it wasn't 5 days. It's been the whole last 2 years. It's been since, his free agency period started the moment he told the Spurs, I'm not really cool with playing right now. And Greg Popovich began to say things like, well, you need to check with his people on that. His medicals go through his people, all that kind of stuff. That's when his free agency period really began. And it's amazing because of who Kawhi is. So many people from the outside seem confused as to what kind of guy he is, what he's into, how he plays.
We had Geltzeiler on last week, and he said Kawhi doesn't want to form a super team. He wants to beat the super team. Well, he kind of formed a super team.
He kind of did. He kind of did form a super team. Kind of.
When has two ever been considered a super team, though? Think about it. There's been plenty of twos. Three is when it became a super team. He doesn't want the super team. He wants a running mate. And the thing is, he was able to find the organization. It's not just forward-thinking ownership. It's also being willing to pay for the right people in every step of the organization.
Yes, sir.
That's true. That's where everything fell apart with the Spurs, was with the training staff. At least that was a big part of it. And the doctors. Well, since Steve Ballmer bought that team, he's gotten Jerry West to come in. He's got Doc Rivers as the coach. I mean, everything from top to bottom, training staff, whatever. He hired Lee Jenkins, who's one of the most respected basketball writers in the country, away from SI just to work on the Kawhi campaign. That's the thought, is that he was there primarily to work on the scope of a presentation or whatever it would be with Kawhi Leonard. They hired him a year in advance to do that stuff. So all of that, it all goes into it. So when the Bulls are touting the fact that they can scout as many prospects with half as many or, you know, with less scouts and things like that, that's not something to be proud of. That's something to just show, yeah, we can get by while also, you know, cutting some corners here and there. That's the big difference. And now that you have a guy like Kawhi, he found, of course, the location of L.A. was what he wanted. He found the organization that had the infrastructure to give him everything that he wanted, and then he went and got someone else to be able to form still a very good team, even with giving up literally every pick they have till the end of time.
It's going to be a tough team. I mean, I get that it's not quite a super team, but that's going to be a tough one defensively to go up against. I mean, they're going to guard the hell out of you, whether it's just going to look that way. And when it comes down to pursuit of free agents, Rick, I think it's math, isn't it? Isn't that what this comes down to? There are five guys on the court. Go find you the one that matters. Go through whatever steps it takes to sign the guys on the periphery, the dudes in his crew, the people that you need to have, you know, whatever job title it is to make things comfortable. Those are small potatoes when it comes to signing a guy that is going to make as much of a difference as Kawhi did on the Raptors last season. Look where the Raptors were. They were bowing out of the first round and stumbling through in an incapable performance and just complete lost. you add Kawhi and you win yourself a championship. I mean, these are the kind of players that are worth that kind of pursuit.
312-644-6767 is our number. This segment brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Subway, make it what you want. At participating restaurants, additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. We still have Cubs tickets to give away. You got to be listening for the cue to call. Those tickets are for the game against the Reds at Wrigley on Tuesday, July 16th. And I mentioned the Reds. We still have that piece of sound from Reds broadcaster Tom Brenneman, who was really titillated by their uniforms and their preparation before the game and the joy of the dugout, the joie de vivre being celebrated as they're literally oiling each other up.
Sun's out, guns out, and Brenneman was there for all of it. Another incident in baseball, too, has a longtime old schooler commenting on Instagram and leaving very, very little uncertainty as to where he stands on this thing. You'll be surprised of who it is. It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Tyler Mahle and the Red Legs, donning the uniforms of 1956. Some of the players are wearing the long sleeves underneath, and then those with the big guns, i.e. Dietrich Lorenzen. How about that? You got guns like that, you should show them off.
Well.
All right. And
The coom well just gets me every now and again.
They weren't just showing them off. They were literally giving each other the
lathering.
The lathering of the guns, the rubbing down. It looked like they were oiling up for pose down.
It was,
how about that?
Ah! Boy, Brenneman was very excited about it.
I thought it was
a decent enough look for the Reds. I actually kind of thought it was cool to go back to the olden days and have the throwback jerseys. Here's the thing I kind of had forgotten. Yasiel Puig and Michael Lorenzen, the two dudes that Brenneman was talking about here, or at least two of them. Michael Lorenzen, the reliever slash, you know, they use him pinch hitting every once in a while. He's a professional bodybuilder, basically. I mean, the guy is massive, and Yasiel Puig is huge. I think, too, in baseball, like, you kind of lose the size of some of these athletes, some of the guys that just spend all kinds of hours. These guys are massive.
Yeah, you forget that you always think like range of motion, and you can be too big for baseball, but you know it doesn't keep Yasiel Puig from being able to throw 100 miles an hour from right field.
No.
That is a big man. Even if, as Pedro Strop says, he's stupid as bleep.
He is.
He still knows where to find the weight room. Apparently,
stupid as bleep, but he's got his curls done. Meanwhile, you saw the play last night in the Cardinals Astros, pardon me, the Angels-Astros game, yes? The play where Jake Marisnyk comes in as a pinch runner at third base and comes home on a sacrifice fly. Jonathan Lucroy is behind the plate for the Angels, set up to make a play, receive a throw from the outfield. Marisnyk comes in head first, launches, head-to-head contact.
That's launch
angle. Lucroy. I mean, he's vertical. head-to-head contact with Lucroy and knocks him out. I mean, he is out cold on his way down to the ground. Mariznick was ruled out on the play for contact. And a lot of people have taken to, you know, the places you take to on social media or what have you to comment on the play, whether it's this is the kind of thing that needs to go out of the game. This is nonsense. He ought to be ejected. There's a suspension in play. Brad Ausmus is wondering whether Mariznick ought to be suspended for the play. But one of the guys out there backing Lucroy and a lack of contact at the plate is Yadier Molina, Cardinals catcher.
How is he doing so?
Noted old schooler. The guy's out there on his own Instagram profile, and it's not a shadow account. It's not Kevin Durant's account. It is actually Yadi's profile out there. He has gone after, searched out and gone after anybody commenting on the MLB.com post, on the MLB official account's post, that this is a good play, that this is fine, this is tough, hard-nosed baseball, all that kind of nonsense. He's gone out there and responded with the F word to each and every one of these fans, letting everyone know that, no, this is not cool.
Like, F no, F you?
F you if you think this is cool.
Wow.
Yadier Molina
wow.
is out there commenting like this about this particular play.
Now, Jonathan Lucroy was hospitalized. They believe he's got a broken nose and he was being evaluated
CT
for
scan
concussion
is what I'd read.
Symptoms. Yeah, they gave him a full workup, and thankfully, it appears that for the most part, he's stable and okay. But it looked really bad. You know, you heard us talking to Ryan Dempster about it, but that's interesting because Molina is an old time tough guy,
old
time baseball guy,
old school.
And this is not okay at all in his world. That's very interesting.
I mean, to me, good on Yadi, I guess, for having, I don't know, somewhat evolved in the stance or understood that, like, yeah, this is something that keeps everybody safe. But at the same time, I can't help but wonder.
Maybe it's there, but for the grace of God, go I. Kind of thing.
A little bit of that, you know. I mean, it's sure it's easy to understand that these things, that the taking some of this old school, unneeded nonsense stuff out of the game is good when it hits home. You know, when it literally hits home. You know that this is something different. And Yadi's there. He wears that kind of equipment. He wears that gear. And it's his ass on the line the next time Mariznick or anybody else comes down third base. So it's really easy for him to see and stand up for that and that kind of stuff being out of the game.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th for group and season tickets. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. And this segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water. I'm always reminded of the number of different famous home plate collisions that we have discussed on these airwaves. I feel like we go back to Pete Rose and Ray Fosse
at the yeah.
All-Star game in 1970, right? I believe it was 1970 when that occurred. I could be wrong, but the ones that stand out to me, the first and foremost was Johnny Damon plowing over Chad Kruder.
Yeah, I don't remember this one, and I did a YouTube search. You mentioned it in the meeting before the show, and for the life of me, I just can't think of it. And I went down the YouTube search, and instead of finding that, it was kind of tough to find, or at least I didn't find it. And instead of finding that, I just kept on seeing videos of Manny Ramirez making a diving cutoff play in the outfield on a Johnny Damon throw home, one of the funniest baseball moments I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was a collision at home plate where Damon, you know, Damon's not the biggest guy, but it was a dislocated left shoulder and multiple fractures. There was a problem. I want to say there was a blood vessel torn where he ended up nearly dying. If I remember correctly, I don't know exactly what it was, but I recall it being awful. And there was Torrey Hunter and a White Sox catcher, just a scrub White Sox catcher who was a decent contact hitter, and his name, I get texters, help me out with this. Who did Torrey Hunter run over that created a whole foo-for-aw uproar regarding that? And then there was Frank Thomas not running over a catcher in response to it and saying, well, you have a job to do and you're the former football tight end. You're supposed to send that message, and the fact that he didn't do it was a big question. I say take it out completely.
It kind of has been. The rule in and of itself, what it was put into the game, was not adjudicated well, nor were the actual written words all that clear about what you could and couldn't do and how these plays were supposed to work. But listen, the Buster Posey rule happened, and that has to be enforced, at least in my opinion it does. I think Mariznick, whether or not he's a good guy, whether he may just made a bad read on that play, because if you watch, he makes a step to the inside. He makes a step toward the field as he's coming down. I don't know how you can read that ball from the outfield and where it was taking Lucroy and say, well, I needed to go to the inside corner of the plate. That's not where you needed to go. So if he just screwed up, you know, if he genuinely made the wrong read, he still leaves his feet and still blasts Lucroy and still makes the contact. Like, good guy, bad play, that means suspension to me. You can't have that kind of stuff running around.
Yeah, here's the Chad Kruder stuff. This was Kruder, then of the White Sox, and Mike Sweeney lifted a fly ball to right field. So Johnny Damon went to score. We had a violent collision at home plate. This is his recollection. He says, I was hit. I didn't feel right when I got hit. I landed on the plate with my back on top of the plate and not able to get up. So they took him to the locker room, and they x-rayed him, and the stunned team of trainers and doctors, they said they were shaking their heads. They said, you need to go get his wife. And he said, what could be so drastically wrong? They need to get my wife. They came back in. They put the x-ray up. They said they pointed out multiple fractures, splinters of bone. They said he told him he probably would never have use of his arm again, let alone play baseball.
God.
So surgery was scheduled for days later, and he continued to deteriorate. Saturday night until Sunday, said, I was nauseous, wasn't keeping my food down. They attributed it to pain medicine. He had ruptured a vein in the lining of his stomach and was bleeding internally. He got into the shower, fell down, and went into convulsions. His wife found him. He was completely unconscious. Paramedics responded. He went to intensive care. So they were able to save his life, and he spent the next day, 5 days, gaining strength to undergo shoulder surgery. He said, then on the operating table, the unexpected happened again. Because I don't know if he had another seizure on the operating table, but they were able to fix him, and he played.
Oh, my God.
He came back less than a year later and played 7 more seasons.
What was this, like 95, 96?
96.
96.
July 19th of 96.
I'll look for it. I've been looking for it all day. Couldn't find it. A lot of options on the text line coming in for your ask of a contact-oriented and mediocre. Well, hold on. These names are great. Jose Fabregas, Josh
Jorge
Paul,
Fabregas? No,
Jamie Burke.
That's it.
Jeremy Burke.
No, Jamie Burke.
Chris Widger.
No, it was Jamie Burke.
Mark Johnson. Those are some great bad White Sox catchers.
No, you know what, though? I appreciate a Miguel Olivo mention.
You know, fair.
First of all,
enough.
Miguel Olivo wasn't bad. And Jorge Fabregas was a decent offensive catcher, you know, left-handed hitter. But, you know, Jamie Burke was that guy.
Jamie Burke was the
Jamie
guy.
Jamie Burke. Torrey Hunter just destroyed Jamie Burke at home plate. And our airwaves went wild in Chicago as we talked about it. They were interesting times, to say the least. This is Cliff on the South Side on the Score. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Love your show.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Cliff.
Hey, what I want to know is when I was a little kid, they taught catchers to block the plate. When I coached baseball, I would have my catcher set up a little in front of the plate. What do they still teach catchers to block the plate?
No.
'Cause that's just asking to get told. To get toe off.
I mean, it's a good question. You're technically not allowed to. The rules are very strict now about a clear path. So they teach you to be in a position to come back and make a tag, but you're usually out ahead of the plate, even though some guys still do block the plate.
Yeah, in 12-inch softball, too. Sometimes it costs people 6 months with a wrist break, too. That happens. So they teach out in front on the plate, then, to come back and make a play with the tag?
As far as I've seen it, look at the letter of the law.
Yeah.
Look at the rule.
Oh, no, I mean at a youth level. I wasn't sure how they – I mean, because to be quite honest with you, at a certain point, it starts to – plays at the plate start to matter. But I would be, you know, 10 and 11, you know – ages where you're just, you know, hit the ball and run till somebody actually makes a throw and a catch. I wouldn't even, in my head, I'm not thinking any play at the plate is ever going to happen. Why bother? Don't get into that.
Yeah, it's probably, I would say probably around 12, 13 at the travel team level when you're trying. But again, sometimes depending on your league, is depends how that rule is enforced, how it's called, or what the letter of that rule is.
Sure.
Can there be no blocking whatsoever? Are you allowed, if you have the ball, can you swing back and be there if you're actually trying to make a tag? I think it completely depends on the league. I don't know what IHSA rule is. I should probably check that out.
Yeah, worth looking into. And pitch counts have been taken care of a lot by many leagues, but I don't know if the home plate rule has been. Transition with Lawrence coming up in just a few. Former catcher there. We can ask how he was trained to block a plate. Probably old school and spikes high, probably.
And we should not ask the I'm Fat podcast about blocking plates, however.
No. Oh, you lose a hand.
Oh, bad things
now
happen.
Now you're back to losing digits, and we just made it through July 4th, all of us.
No one touches my plate.
That's a fair enough rule. Cubs tickets coming up next, so don't go anywhere. If you want to see the Cubs and the Reds on July 16th, you keep it here to Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment's brought to you by True Green. Ready for a mosquito-free summer, Chicago? Just call True Green. They'll eliminate biting mosquitoes in your yard within 24 hours of application, guaranteed. Call 1-866-TRUE-GREEN or visit truegreen.com/mosquito-free-summer. Additional restrictions may apply. See truegreen.com for details. Give me a single-digit number, will you?
Show me 8.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8.
Caller 8 to the contest line, 312-591-6700. The contest line.
Gotta be the contest
wins
line.
Wins a pair of tickets to see the Cubs take on Cincinnati at Wrigley on Tuesday, July 16th. Ryan Dempster joined us today. We thank him for that. We thank our producers. They were Rick Camp, Sean Anderson, and Christopher Dickens. Kevbo had the updates. Tomorrow is Joe Day. Our Joe Sheehan will join us with all kinds of other stuff as well. Reaction to home run derby results and hot Bulls summer league action.
Hot home run derby conversation. I'm telling you, though, if you haven't put the money down already. No, I'm kidding. But my guy is Pete Alonso. I'm digging on Pete Alonso for home run derby. I think I might make the move this afternoon. After we talked to Lawrence, after transition, I think I'm going with Pete Alonso. And it's weird because I've fallen in love with the guy because the Mets have a nice thing, and it's so clearly Mets. Did you see the news out of the Mets over the weekend? As bad as your team gets, whether you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan, wake up, and when your feet hit the floor every morning, point up in the sky and thank God that you are not a Mets fan. Brody Van Wagenen was throwing a chair around after a meeting with his management team and then said, go to your effing press conference. That was Brody Van Wagenen's weekend. The Mets are such a cluster. They are screwed, and Pete Alonso does not need to be there. I hope to God he wins a home run derby because the next 6 years of his life are going to be hell.
Lawrence Holmes will join the festivities next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.